Why would you eat this?
You brought it.
And we're live.
Thanks, Johnson County Moonshine.
This is Kevin Sullivan. I'm your host of the Wait What If podcast. I wanted to change our name because I hate saying the Wait What If podcast, and Mike discouraged me. He said I'd have to rebrand, and I didn't want to have to go through all that.
To reprint all the t-shirts.
Yeah.
That's right, and the stickers.
I have to rebrand. I don't even know what rebranding sounds. What is? Bah. I can't talk because my tongue is numb.
I have a journalism degree from University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
Do you? Well, that segues into our bio. She's making a face because we have a jar of Johnson County. Oh, can we say this? Is this legal?
Hypothetically.
Okay.
Why, of course.
Allegedly.
You can buy this in the store.
You can?
No, you can buy that in the store.
Okay.
That just happens to be
the
container.
Oh, you added the blueberries.
And the moonshine.
We have blueberries and moonshine.
And
it's legal moonshine.
Legal moonshine
Did
came
you
in this jar.
In your bathtub?
Mm-hmm. Legal moonshine came in this jar.
Uh-huh.
It was consumed and refilled, repurposed, recycled, if you will, with the blueberries.
All right, we won't talk too much more about that.
Nope.
We have Mike Stojic again. He's auditioning for the second mic. And I'm using a short mic stand now, so I have to just stare down like this, like Rain Man. I'm looking at the table. And Malia. And we have Malia Christie, a local artisan. And apparently, what did you just say your degree was in?
Journalism and mass communication.
Oh, this is perfect for you then. I'm going to hold this mic because this is stupid.
It's very NPR. I like it.
Ah, that's better. I'm going to actually kick back on this couch right here. Oh, yeah. That's the stuff. You guys don't mind if I take off my pants, do you?
I was just going to say.
So, we were going to sit around a fire pit tonight outside, but we have some storms coming in. So, if we have some thunder and lightning, it actually will add to the ambiance. But instead, right now, we're under a fluorescent light, and it's bright in here and just
we
doesn't
have
totally
that
trippy ambiance.
We can totally see your lack of pants.
That's right. All right. So, let me... This is what I was thinking about today. This is what I do. This is where my brain... I want to talk about stuff that will hopefully make you lay in bed at night and just freak out a little bit. Because if I can keep you up to at least 4 a.m. pondering your existence, then I've done my job.
I am the mother of 2 children under the age of 3. I do that every time I lay in bed. Why am I here? Why would anyone do this on purpose?
Our existence. All right, so this is... this is what I was thinking. I mean, we're a group of things that have been around for 100,000 years,
yeah,
give or take, that can only exist on a small, like pitch the earth like an eggshell or an egg. We can only exist on the very surface of that egg. We go down a little bit, we're dead. We go up a little bit, we're dead.
Yeah.
We go over the water, we're dead. There's just a small, thin place that sometimes humans can exist.
And I think it's really rare and an amazing chance, just situation that we are here. But I think, unfortunately, I'm going to be the sad panda here in the whole conversation. I mean, I think the outlook isn't good for us as humans, but it's pretty cool that we were here in the first place. It took a lot of, I think, just really random or unlikely events to make us here, but I don't think that there's some secret answer to somehow, if we get it all right and figure it all out, we'll be here forever as a species.
Maybe if we evolve to post-humanism. So what I mean by that is, we've talked about it on other podcasts, where we eventually figure out how to replicate the human neurons and then can map a brain and then download a brain. And then, or even if we just come up with artificial intelligence that knows how to fix and repair and recreate itself.
Which leads me to, have you seen Chappie?
Yeah, that's pretty good, huh?
It was great. I mean, it was heartbreaking in a way because it shows what jerks we are.
I didn't see it.
Oh, you haven't seen
it.
Don't
ruin it for me.
No, so no.
Everyone dies in the end. The ship sinks.
Again?
Yeah.
She throws the diamond overboard.
There's not really an end, technically. It's kind of just something to leave you pondering. Mm-hmm. But I think if we end up going the AI route, I think we're going to ruin it for ourselves, and there's a really good chance that we'll be wiped out by all the ways that we're using up all our resources, and we have this just need to dominate and to kill off anything that threatens us. And I think that if we create some artificial intelligence, I think that it might be able to cancel out all the stuff that ruins us.
Like the Terminator?
Yeah. No.
What?
Sort of. I don't know. Like
kill
Chappie. You should watch it. But
I should probably watch Chappie then.
I think that the artificial intelligence will probably be missing all of those intrinsic flaws that we have that could end up screwing us, and they'll end up taking over and just being like, remember when humans were here and they invented us?
Well, that's what
we got rid of them.
That's yeah. We remember those fleas that used to live on the planet Earth? Yeah. We squashed them.
Yeah.
That is depressing. Great.
I know.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Tell me why.
I think technology will certainly evolve someday to the point where there is artificial intelligence, where it can think and do things for itself. But I don't think we'll ever outsmart humans. I think we have just our ability to be creative and come up with new concepts to challenge things. I think we'll always have an opportunity and the ability to outsmart some artificial intelligence.
Do you think our Earth will be here long enough, or will be part of it long enough to get it
it's hard to say.
Out there before we either
I don't know.
Burn up?
We may be in a space station on the moon or Mars, but I think humans will still find a way to exist.
Well, they say that they'll just... So an artificial intelligence will actually make a pathway into the space. So it will leave here. And then actually on your Fermi paradox thing, did you read about the, because I see you have notes there on the Fermi paradox.
No, I don't.
did you see the, or read about where an advanced civilization will send out a group of, let's say it sends out a robot, and a robot goes and it goes to another planet and learns how to mine the planet for raw materials to replicate and then go from there. And they said it would take about 3.5 million years to populate like a galaxy.
Yeah.
To me, it seems like it would take longer than that, but I guess 3.5 million is a long time.
No, I think that's about right.
Yeah. So, which to us is forever. I mean, 3.5 million years, but to a robot, it's like, to existence of the universe, it's just a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
So, that was one of their arguments at saying that we're probably alone because an advanced enough civilization would have already done that and we would have had evidence.
What if they're young like we are and they haven't developed the technology to do that yet?
This is possible, but why would all these young planets come up at the same time?
Or even if they are older and they do have that technology, as big as the universe is, and there's a whole bunch of other planets. I think there's more than one that they've discovered that's similar to ours that could potentially have life like ours. What if we're the last one for them to come find? Like they're like, we'll do this one first, and then that one, and then at some point they come after us. Or maybe they already did. Like
or they could care less.
The ones,
or they care less.
The ones that could sustain life, though. Why is there no evidence of any living civilizations or anything? Why is there nothing?
Well, you have to remember, there's the time. I guess that would be part of a paradox. You can't. When you're talking about light years, I mean, the closest star is, I can't remember now how many light years away, but that's a long time. And so they say if there was a civilization on the other side of the galaxy, this is just our galaxy, and they were observing us, they would see cavemen.
Right.
That's all they could see.
Right.
What's that?
You want some more?
No, this is perfect.
I just put a little bit in.
This is a school night.
While you're pouring.
Oh, let's pass it around.
Let's do that. I shared the blueberries.
So as everyone knows, Mike Stojic is going to be opening up a bar.
More?
And he is a whiskey, bourbon, scotch connoisseur, and he always brings one. And now he's bringing out Hooker's House Bourbon. Sonoma-style American bourbon. So let's give it a go. Established 1849.
Tasty.
Mike's trying to start his own podcast, and he sent me a link of
FCC.
Legalities, no.
Yeah. Oh, I did. Because I want to go out and interview... I want to go to distilleries and those sorts of places, and I realized that there could be problems associated with that.
Mm, that's good.
That one's pretty tasty. It's finished in a Pinot Noir barrel.
Really?
It's made in California, but to be called a bourbon, they had to be called a bourbon, you have to be in Bourbon County, Kentucky.
So basically, after...
That's where it comes from. So they have to ship it there, get it barreled, and they can send it back.
After eating the blueberries, that's like...
My husband would love to be here right now. That's like, I would love that. Hi, honey.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's really good.
Here's a thought I was having. I want to share this one with you. And tell me what you think about this. This is one of my latest thoughts, because I'm trying to figure out, and I don't know if it's just part of life. You go, you're a teenager, and really, what do you do as a teenager? As a guy, you do dangerous things, climb on cars. And as a 20-year-old, you think you know everything. And you're like, I know everything. And then in your 30s, you're like, I know nothing. And I have to raise these people and pretend I know something. You want to talk about artificial intelligence just looking between my ears? It's all fake. I just pretend it's saying something.
That spells doom for the rest of us, because we look at you as a pretty smart guy.
No. I'm actually a good actor.
The one thing that I know for certain, and I have said this more than just right this moment, is that I don't know shit about shit. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing I know for sure. And it's kind of like liberating. And it just kind of, I don't know. It's the whole entitlement and the self-centeredness that we kind of live, at least thus far, feeling that way. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm kind of glad I've figured that out this far.
Yeah,
I mean, at this point in my life, that I don't know anything about anything, because at least it kind of opens up to like, wow, there's a lot more out there than what I know.
If we had the wisdom of a 60-year-old, the drive of a 30-year-old, the bodies of 20-year-olds, and the energy of 15-year-olds, it'd be perfect.
Yeah,
but we get all a little bit at a time and lose some at the same time. And
I'd renegotiate my opinion about how we're all doomed as a species.
Yeah, we could be.
Give us a chance.
I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, in the sense of how long the world's been here, we've only been here for just a short amount of time, and I mean, it is what it is. If we all, and I hate that saying. I don't know why I just said that.
It is what it is.
Oh, I hate that saying. Mm. But it is. In this situation, it's like, I mean, what can you do? You can try to, there's a saying, you can polish the brass on the Titanic, but it's all going down.
It's all going down. Oh, my gosh.
Just
what's
enjoy.
That saying from?
You guys are so pessimistic.
That's from...
Fight Club.
Fight Club, yeah.
My favorite movie.
You're polishing the brass on the
time.
Titanic, man.
Oh, yeah. You're not just... khakis, sorry. Can I say the F word?
I'll beep it. That'd be good. I'll try my beeping.
We are the all singing, all dancing crap of the universe.
Yeah, that's a great one. Did you ever read it? Chuck
Palahniuk. Palahniuk.
Palahniuk.
Palahniuk.
Palahniuk.
Palahniuk. I don't know.
Palahniuk?
You know what we're talking about?
There. I've read a bunch of his books.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you?
Yeah. I have not read Fight Club, though. I've been putting that one off because I saw the movie, but I've read a few others.
Do you read...
I read...
Books so much
Choke,
better.
Haunted.
I didn't read Choke, Haunted. My God. He said that's the only public reading he ever did where someone physically vomited in the middle of his story. Oh,
I think that might have been the first one of his that I read.
All his books are so brutally honest. Yeah. That when you're done reading them, you like have to shower.
Listen, I think they're great.
Though I'm not proud of the fact that you pointed out I brought notes.
Mm-hmm. There's your notes.
Turns out,
Pope, have you seen True Detective?
Heap. Nope.
It's, do you know what it is? It's the moonshine and blueberries. Your tongue goes numb a little bit, and you can't talk.
A little bit,
but
a little bit.
True Detective. It's nihilism. Matthew McConaughey.
It must be a quality piece of work.
My wife gets... No, it's really good, actually. It's really good. He plays this nihilistic...
Though.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. He plays this nihilistic detective, and Woody Harrelson plays this just scummy detective, and they everything out of McConaughey's mouth is just about stuff like that. Like, and then Woody Harrelson the whole time is saying stuff like, man, you better just shut up. People are going to hate you. Because everything comes out of his mouth is sort of like that. It's a great, yeah, you got to watch it. It's on HBO. HBO Now is how I watch it. But
All right.
When I'm sitting around, I try to talk to my wife like I'm Matthew McConaughey. I'll go, this is my impersonation. Hey there, I'm Matthew McConaughey. And it just irritates her. Hey, yeah, I try to get my son to talk like this. Now that I'm like focusing
on it. You sound like Forrest Gump.
I know. Yeah. One thing I like about.
It was my running shoes.
They were special.
You know, when I say it to myself, I sound just like him. And then I do it on the mic and I'm like, holy I sound like me trying to talk like Matthew McConaughey.
That's what every other guy thinks too. Don't feel bad.
Our existence occurs through direct observation. You guys ever hear Schrodinger's cat?
Yep.
Okay. So the idea... No?
I told you, man. I'm too dumb to be on your show. I can't keep
No, you're not.
This.
No, you're not.
Oh, she's got
can
notes.
Hang on. Can I bring
There's
up
There's like 40
other...
pages. I can't read all this.
There are two pages in the most enormous bold print
Look at the
ever.
Size of those letters. They're tiny.
All right,
I can't read...
Let me explain what Schrodinger... What were you going to say, actually?
I was going to say, can we give shout-outs to someone else's brainchild on your awesome podcast?
Yeah, like Schrodinger's cat?
Well, Schrodinger
I think he's dead,
pretty important figure, too. But no, the... So yours is Wait, What If? The mm-hmm. Wait...
But, oh, yeah, Wait, But Why?
Wait, But Why?
Yeah, no, that's a good website. WaitButWhy.com.
He's got the YouTube thing.
Oh, does he really?
He's kind of... Oh, man.
Is that the one you sent us?
Yes.
With the cartoons?
Yeah, and
I was entertained
the
by
guy,
that.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to watch
really
them
cool.
beforehand? Mm-hmm. So it's like an animated version of...
That's what he does with all
Schrodinger's
things.
Cat yeah. and the Fermi that paradox and everything. And it puts it like where you can totally get it, but it's really,
figures.
Really cool. It's mm-hmm. really cool, yeah.
So Schrodinger's cat is this idea that... All right. We are made up of atoms. Got that part?
All right. Yeah.
Atoms are made up of subatomic particles, little tiny particles, and they display behaviors that don't act like what we see around us. Like an atom doesn't act like this glass of bourbon. But we can use this glass of bourbon to kind of explain how an atom or how a subatomic particle like a electron or even smaller than that, like the quarks that make up protons and neutrons.
Mm-hmm.
So
neutrons and electrons.
Theoretically, an electron.
That's two for you.
Thanks.
An electron will act if you shoot an electron at a wall. It'll hit the wall and act as both, or use a photon of light and act both as a wave and as a particle. In order to find out what it's going to behave like, you have to observe it, right? Because mm-hmm. you can't just... So I'm shooting a photon against that wall. So right now, if I don't watch it, I know you shot the photon towards the wall. It's behaving both at the same time as a wave and as a particle. And it's only after you visually observe it that it turns into either a wave or a particle. So Schrodinger was like, well, let me explain this a lot easier. Take a cat. It's twisted. Put a cat in a box. Seal the box. There's no in, there's no out. It's completely sealed. You can't see in it. And inside that box, you have a canister of poison gas, and you have a piece of material that is, it's random. It's a piece of...
radioactive.
Yeah, radioactive material that will degrade randomly. So it either degrades or it doesn't degrade, but it's random. And if it does degrade, it sets off a Geiger counter. That Geiger counter then drops a hammer. The hammer breaks the canister of gas and kills the cat. So you put the cat in there for a period of time, and if you don't observe the cat is both dead and alive because you're not observing it. It's both. And it's not until the act of opening up that canister, I mean that box and looking inside that you actually bring it to fruition what has happened. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's Schrodinger's cat. So that got me thinking, everything in existence only exists by the observer. So if I'm at work, right, and you guys did whatever you did today, that didn't exist. Well, it did, sort of. every possibility you could have done today absolutely existed. You drove to the store and got milk today. You came to this podcast. You missed this podcast. You did, you know, you've done all these things. Mm-hmm. And only by, and as far as I know, without me actually contacting you and observing you, all of that happened. But it's not until I talk to you, there you have direct observation that whatever did happen, happened.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Isn't that creepy as all hell?
Yeah.
In theory, it's creepy because we don't act like
one thing or none of it is possible. It could have all happened.
And if you don't observe it, it doesn't matter what happened, does it? Because you didn't observe it, it has nothing to do with you. Now, an observation could be non-direct, like you could drive by me in the car and boom, now everything is set into motion because I saw you. But without observing, that's why it's kind of like saying what's going on across the world doesn't matter until you find out about it.
Here's...
you see the results.
Yeah, which
like
is...
Like a butterfly effect.
Which is observation. So so if you see the results, you're in a way observing it. It's setting like a...
You can make assumptions on what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But you don't know. I mean,
but you don't know what
you don't know until you see.
Well, only the results of
If you see boiling water, you know that the water came in contact with heat.
Sure, everything happens, or nothing happens.
Well, no, in reality, humans don't act like subatomic particles. We're not.
What if you all
but
just
it's a good example
don't exist when I leave from here, and like it's not like everything happens, but what if nothing happens?
What if you're in computer animation and we don't exist?
That's another thing.
We're
though,
just
that
AI.
That it's talking about, like, what if we are just uploaded? What if this is what we are?
Well, there's a theory out there called the what's it called? It's called the simulation theory. And those people talk about, they say that existence, we're all in a computer simulation.
Yeah. Is that the same one that's like the body theory, and then there's the mind theory, and then there's the, it's like, oh my gosh, what's the whole thing about if you, if you took your body... If your body died, but you were able
like
to
a
transfer your consciousness into
who's that guy
someone else's saying, body.
Body is a wonderland. It's starting to sound like a John Mayer song. Did you ever see that episode of...
How did you get that out of what she was shot?
She's like, body, your body. Have you ever seen...
It's the whiskey, man. Is it?
I know.
What was in those blueberries?
How did that happen?
But it's kind of like that. It's there's this whole theory. This isn't just me laying up at 4 a.m. wondering why we're all here. That if you took your... If your body died, but your consciousness was transferred somehow to another host... Then is it you in someone else's body? Or say if your brain, if your whole, all your organs died, but your brain was able to be
this is called schizophrenia.
If your brain was transferred into someone else, if like your brain and someone else's brain were swapped, but your body's like lived on, does that mean you're still you and you have someone else's brain? Or are you in somebody else thinking all the same thoughts and the memories? And then it goes on to say, theory.
There's a lot of things there.
It's the same theory you started out with.
Is it?
But there's like five different ones. And then you have to take all those into account and then include torture. And you're like, if any of those things happen, which of the bodies would you want to have to go through torture?
None of them?
Google it. Google it.
What's it called?
It's like the body theory. I like to believe it. I like that people have faith. I think, to me, that's what belief in religion and a higher power is. I think it's something about us as humans. It just makes up... It's just part of our soup.
I think it helps with humanity.
Yeah.
Faith. If folks didn't have faith, I think we'd be a worse place.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like you. I tend to think I'm probably agnostic. I was raised Lutheran, but then after I've been thinking quite a bit about it, and I tend to don't think there's a I don't think there's a Christian God, and I don't think it's a Muslim. I tend to think they're all wrong. And maybe there are parts of them that are all right. I do think there is some sort of governing, I guess, God. But I tend to think it's more of a collective consciousness of everything. And there's this wealth of knowledge. And I think some people are more tuned to it and you can almost tap into it. And I think you could probably do that through types of meditation and those things. And you can kind of connect to it. And perhaps people can use maybe instead of 10% of their brain, 10.1% of their brain or 10.2. And they're able to connect into this consciousness that the rest of us just don't know exists because there's a whole 90% of our brain that doesn't even work.
People
have no idea what the potential is. So I tend to think there is some sort of God that helps govern things. And I think we're all connected because of that. I think our consciousnesses are connected.
Better.
Not as physical beings, but as our consciousness. Not as your mind, as a physical mind. I think that's just the hardware or like a memory chip that kind of remembers things for you. But really who you are is something pretty unique. But I think it's all connected.
Yeah. I think it makes us better to just at least believe that there's something bigger than us. You know, I think I think having that faith and humility.
You look at the universe and all the galaxies.
Yeah.
It's hard not to think that.
I think it makes us better. It makes me feel better to at least know that we're able to believe in something bigger than ourselves.
No, I think it's good for
but
sure.
But also, too, I think a flaw is that we really, really tend to need someone to blame. You know, that our problems and our faults aren't
religions. We end up blaming ourselves. I just want to touch on the agnostic thing. If people get offended and they get, I don't think offended, they think in themselves, they're like, oh my gosh, I need to save this person. But it's not a negative concept. It just means not knowing. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you talk to someone and you say, I bet you there's agnostic priests out there, Catholic priests. I mean, there has to be because there's some that say, hey, I don't know. I'm going with my faith here. But am I 100%? No, I'm not 100%. That makes me not knowing, agnostic. And to me, as someone who is willing to say, all right, I may not be 100%. You know, there could be this, there could be that, there could be the flying spaghetti monster. Those people, at least they're acknowledging that there's other possibilities. It's the people that jump into one boat or the other. I don't know if I was talking to you or somebody, that people are like, oh, I'm an atheist. Like, okay, so you're saying you're right into, what's that?
That was Paul, and I really dug that
Paul's
podcast.
An atheist.
No. But what he was saying was that they have a belief, you know, that even atheists, they have a belief, and you can't tell them whatever it is that you ascribe to. Yeah. You can't tell them that you're wrong.
I tend to think those sorts of people, and this hopefully it doesn't get me in too much trouble, people.
You're
but
trouble.
I tend to think that they're pretty ignorant.
Someone who's 100% in one or the other.
Yeah, 100% in one or the other. I think it's great if you got a priest who says, I don't know if my God exists, but my faith is strong. Because your faith doesn't have to be 100%.
That's the definition of faith.
Is you believe it. And it's not science. Faith is not science. So it's the faith that you have that in the love for your wife and your children. You can't say with 100% certainty that they love you back the same way.
Yeah, that's what Paul said.
He did say that, but I'd also... he did. Now I'm stealing from his show. But now
everyone's just nervous about their wives.
I'd read that before. Well, I was a philosophy minor in college. Mm-hmm. That was like 15 years ago. But so faith is different. I mean, it's what you choose to believe in. But at least with those guys who say, "Yeah, I have faith in the Lord," but I'm not 100% certain. I think that's good. I think that's honest. And you got to give guys respect for that sort of thing. But for the guys who are 100%, and they jump in with both feet, and it's like it's this or nothing. Mm-hmm. That's dangerous, and that's how you get extremists.
Sure,
I fought them in Iraq and Afghanistan, but we have our own Christian extremists. You have you're probably familiar with the Westboro Baptist. That's insane.
Well,
let's back up another quick second. You said you think faith and everything is good for the world.
Yeah. Well, I have faith in humanity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I tend to be very optimistic. I think we're going to do well, and we're going to. That's why I said at the beginning of the show is, you're with your artificial intelligence, life will find a way. I
mean, yeah,
it's
terrorists have faith. They got a lot of faith that they're going to die.
Well, yeah, the extremist sense.
But
the guys with the, I guess, the bit of the common sense, and they can appreciate and understand other people's faith and respect other people's faiths. That creates harmony, and
right.
That's a good thing. But
what
there's those who jump in, like we said, both feet jump in. It's my way or nothing, and I'll kill you for it.
Like Ken Ham. He won't kill you for it, but did you ever read or see any
Ken
Ham stuff?
I have no idea who this guy is.
Know? Check out, go, you want some good giggles, go look at, he runs the Creationist Museum. And in this museum, there's dinosaurs and cavemen. You know how they have those like little statue things set up?
The ape to the upright human being.
He thinks that cavemen and dinosaurs live together. And yeah, he's on the other side. There's also Kirk Cameron. He has these videos with him and... just look up Kirk Cameron.
I was going to say, Kirk Cameron's in it, though. I mean, gosh, so committed, though. Like,
they go around and they try to...
I have to watch it.
They go around and they try to convert people on the street.
Ray Comfort.
Just look up Ray Comfort on YouTube, and you'll see how deeply these guys try to convert people on the street. And he does it by saying, he's like, so have you ever stolen anything? And you're like... I don't know, 38, probably. Have you ever lied? Yeah, most likely. Have you ever...
Like today?
And then I'll say, have you ever... what is it? Lie, steat, lie, cheat?
Cheal? Steal.
Cheal.
Beg, borrow.
Cheal, man.
It's all the same time.
It's that stupid blueberry stuff.
It is.
Lie, steal, and cheat. Oh, and then he's like,
It's really hot in here.
It is kind of warm. Have you ever lusted at the opposite sex? And he's like, well, that means you're, what do you say? It means you're...
Gay?
Yeah, no. The opposite sex. That means it's straight.
I was with you.
Really? Did I say same sex?
Does that mean, yeah.
No,
I don't think you did, but we both assumed the same. For some reason, I don't know.
Is it because I'm drinking
all the rest of the things seem like things you may not do, but the lust of the opposite sex,
all the time.
No, he says that if you have impure thoughts about the opposite sex, it's the same as infidelity. That's what he says. So he's like, so you're a liar, a stealer, or a thief, and a cheat. And they're like, whoa. Yeah, an adulterer. Adultery
Isn't
of the heart.
Isn't that like a country song?
So this guy
should be.
So this guy goes around and tries to convert people using
I've
this.
I've heard it.
But I don't. Whoa! And now I'm playing footsies with Mike under the table.
With me. God, now it got weird.
Better put my pants on.
You guys are that fifth bad thing.
There's nothing but beards
right
over here
now. Cats and all.
Don't
this
open the box. I don't know if the cat's
bullshit
dead
that we've like gotten into. Mm-hmm. One of the things, one of the you know, people's interpretation. Apparently, a learned man. The interpretation of Schrodinger's cat. I liked. I don't know, some Eric Martel, some professor of important shit at a university. I did really like. I liked his synopsis.
That's good.
He
You're
was
good
not
debater.
One of my professors at UNC Chapel Hill, although my science with a lab was astronomy. I never went to the lab, though, because it was at 10 o'clock at night. I was hammered by then every night. Yeah. No, but I like the synopsis he came up with about the Schrodinger's cat is if you try to make predictions and you assume that you know the status of the cat, you're probably going to be wrong. If, on the other hand, you assume it's in combination of all the possible things that it could be, you stand a really good chance of being right. So listen, read it. It's what the guy said.
So wait, wait. Explain it as like I'm five.
I think I just did.
I thought you did too, but I'm still wise.
I have 3-year-olds. That was a direct quote, by the way. I didn't even put my genius spin on it. Okay. Good. Yep. Okay.
Wait, wait. We'll get the audiences. How did the audience feel about that?
No.
Oh, they liked it. Apparently they liked it. I don't know.
I'll be here all week. you've got 100 more followers because you said Kirk Cameron. So
people are Googling that
we
now.
We can say anything now.
Yeah, that's right.
No, everything we've been talking about, Schrodinger's cat all the way to bourbon to faith and everything. The ones that you like to believe in, like you were talking about the priests and the priests and everything and all the you don't want to think the extremists that are like this is all it is. If you can look at it the same way as Schrodinger's cat, that it's all possible and you can't know and you're never going to be the observer, most likely. You're never going to be the observer. So if we can think that it's all possible, you know, and know that faith in the universe, in us as humans, mm-hmm. in a higher power, in someone else's higher power, and that maybe what we believe is wrong. If you can at least keep in mind that it's all possible and that you can't know, it's all possible. Including what you think you believe to be true. You have to think that all the rest of it could be true as well.
And that would, I think, ultimately lead us to be nicer to people.
And if everyone could think that way, yeah. I think we would stand a really, really good chance.
You respect people for their beliefs and their opinions.
Yeah.
If you saw things that way, like I don't know for certain. But all of it could potentially be possible.
Yeah.
I think you stand a far better chance of respecting someone and being nicer to them and treating them with respect than had you just assumed that only your way is the right way. Yeah, that's a really great way to look at it. I think it's a really great way to look at it.
I think that we would stand a really good chance if more people felt that way or at least had that kind of faith in everything. Unfortunately, I do feel like that's maybe those people are a small subset of everyone in, you know, our population on Earth. I don't feel like most people do look at it that way. And I'm not saying like, oh, yeah, I've got it figured out. I'm just saying that's something I feel like I've grown to realize.
I think
the extremists, though, they're the ones who get the headlines. They're the ones who... They're super small, but they're the ones who are making these really big detrimental impacts on...
Well, because they act on it.
Our world.
The majority of people just want to come home.
We just want to...
Play with their kids.
Yeah.
Or do whatever they want to do.
How do we do... I don't think it's about as much the... Are we going to figure out how to, you know, travel billions of years through space or figure out the artificial intelligence? How do we get the... people, the humanity that we're a part of now, to all kind of try to ascribe to that and not be kind of like torn apart by the small percentage of people who, Jesus, if we don't get control of those people, they're going to screw us all.
It's education.
They're going to, like, we're going to blow ourselves up potentially because that small little fraction of us is just out of hand. They've gotten out of hand.
It's the uneducated and disenfranchised
youth.
So, I mean, you can help prevent that by educating and getting out and showing that people care.
Look at, there's a documentary on Vice about, you can find Vice on YouTube. It's about Pakistan and India, their border conflict, and how they both have nukes and how they both are basically irrational, and it's only America and Russia that are like, yeah, don't use those, it'll be a big problem for you. But those are the people that I'm scared of, even like North Korea.
Yeah,
I mean, how can you educate them? How can you? And I'm not saying, oh, Pakistan, there's a whole country you can't educate, but it's the fanatics.
The fanatics are the ones you're never...
Actually, I don't know what wins. I honestly don't know. I don't know if it's curable.
But that's okay. But that's okay. I think
I know, because you guys are both pessimistic. I tend to be
optimistic.
I think we're going to pull through.
I'm not pessimistic. I try to be kind of a realist now.
There's no such thing. I think there's only pessimists and optimists.
Really?
Well, I'm optimist by a lot of stuff.
I think
it's when I get into the world.
A realist is a pessimist. They're just trying to convince themselves that this is the way it is when it doesn't have to be that way.
I don't have faith.
Pessimist in denial, I think.
I don't have faith in a world where children are murdered, where people are blown up in buildings, where... Girl. I mean, I just don't have faith in that world. And I don't... I mean, unless it changes, how am I going to ever have faith in it?
I think you're too focused on a lot of the negative things. And if had we appreciate some of the better things that are happening in this world, like one of my favorite stories was the Bat Kid.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah,
that was incredible how a whole community came together to give this kid who was dying his one wish, the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yeah,
and they let him be Batman for the day. I don't know, did you see that?
No.
And it was amazing. The whole city basically shut down, and they brought in like a Riddler and a Penguin, and they had his mom, and he had to go save his mom. It was the most touching story I've seen in such a long time. But those stories, maybe to that level. But stories like that happen all the time. People go and do incredible things and go well beyond their reach to help other people out. It's unfortunate that we never hear those stories. We only ever hear the bad stories.
Do you find out now that you have kids, you can't, like, any sort of child story like that, you just can't listen to it, or you can't? I mean, no, like
we're
anything.
We're not going to spoiler alert, Mike, but Chappie? The first 45 minutes
oh,
of
he's
it,
a child, yeah.
I almost was like,
I can't do it anymore, because anytime I see anything with another child, I automatically see my children, and it's a
robot, and first and foremost, it was a fictional story, you know, and I was like, I can't, Chappie, I can't
you know what took me out
it.
Of that movie was the South African accent. I hate the South African accent.
Oh, you...
You don't like that accent?
No.
It's like
a British.
It's like Dutch and British mixed together. Yeah. So they're like,
a friend of mine was born in South Africa.
Yeah,
it's a weird British accent.
Yeah,
I think it's
like,
cool.
It almost sounds like their native tongue is a different language and they're speaking with a British accent.
Yeah.
Versus like Australian, that just, it's smooth and it flows. And British is smooth and it flows. And even Irish is smooth and it flows. Scots, the Welsh. But then you hear South African and it's like, I can't even mimic it. It's like they get tongue-tied and it's like it's just weird, man. it's so bizarre.
It strikes me as Australian, Jamaican, and I don't know, maybe Dutch.
Yeah,
like,
there is
all that together
Dutch.
And just made like a real illegitimate child. But I think, you know, just being who I am and where I've always been from, America. Woo woo. I think all foreign accents are awesome.
Okay.
I feel like I.
I think some of our own. I think some of our own accents are pretty awesome.
Oh my gosh! Like, can we name drop, shout out our neighborhood people, or do we have to ask their permission?
We got good accents in our neighborhood. Let me think.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Are you kidding
Victoria
me?
And Sabine.
Everything Victoria says just sounds like, and like Johnny Appleseed, which is his real legal name, Johnny Appleseed. Everything he says, it's like, say it again, do that again. It's like, I don't know. It's just, he speaks like New York firefighter. I love it. It's great. But it's, you know, we're all our little microcosm of all the...
How come you don't have an accent? You should have a thick Southern accent. I know you're from Cary, and that's kind of a non-accent-neutral location.
Jesus, you're just dropping bombs on me over here. Just,
yeah, I mean, if you told me you were from...
I'm from Cary, like, God bless.
If you told me you were from, like, Idaho, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I believe that.
Well, believe it or not, I am a product of an Air Force family, so...
Oh, okay.
Family... I mean, like,
your dad was
literally.
Air Force?
No, my dad is Lionel Richie.
Yeah,
he grew up in an orphanage. So,
oh, did he really?
Kind of the same, but he's an amazing musician.
He is. He's really
played
good.
With James Brown. Whoop! Backup for James Brown.
Guys, did he really?
I never told you the story about how he was playing backup for James Brown, and James Brown needed him to drive him to some party, and they were all like
allegedly
wasted. Allegedly. He was driving up the wrong way of the highway, and
those disclaimers
crashed.
This is Mike Stojic
crashed
podcast.
on a head-on collision, and Dad was almost responsible for the death of James Brown.
Wow.
But allegedly. Right before that, they laid down a sick track, and that's all that really happened for sure.
That's
anyway,
pretty cool.
Because that's all they
but no, so my I was raised by my mother and grandfather for the most part, and they were Air Force, so there's no accents within my family, although my mom's side of the family is Native American, and she's my dad's black.
She's like, I haven't traveled, but my genes have.
My name is Hawaiian, so.
My mom's got an interesting accent. She'll talk. She's from New Jersey, in the city of New Jersey, and she only pulls it out when she's angry at me, which is fun. So if everything's going well, she sounds like just any like you or me.
White but, bread.
Oh, man, when that. Boy, when she's angry, does that New Jersey accent come out? And it's hard and fast, man.
Nice.
It's hard.
Nice.
Have you met my mom?
No.
No, she says no R's. Like, no. My nephew was here this week. Kata, come over here.
I love that.
Where's your father? Oh, you can see that.
What is she? Like,
Boston.
Like New England?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deep Boston. And actually everyone in my family except my dad, he's from Michigan, has that. And even my sister, I think, has a little bit of a New England accent.
Is that
I was just guarded against it.
Park the car and the yacht.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. That's kind of the
which I think is awesome though, because I'm like, even my best friend of 15 years, she's from Minnesota. And like this, the way Minnesotans speak, you know.
Oh yeah,
it's like watching Fargo. Every time I'm with her, every time I'm with her, it's like Fargo. I'm like,
do you know what we're doing?
Just say words.
This podcast, I'm going to watch my listenership just go. These guys are assholes.
It's your own fault.
Unfollow.
You invited us both.
Yeah. I know.
It's, yeah.
I want to go back. I want to go back to. So you said you're half black, half. Indian, Native American.
No, my mom's Native American, Lumbee Indian.
100%?
Her mother and father.
There's a lot of them around here.
What's a Lumbian?
Lumbee Indian, indigenous to North Carolina, like near Fayetteville. Lumberton, Pembroke, that whole area near Fayetteville.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come on,
right.
Air Force. I know you two know where that is.
I'm not Air Force.
Marines, yeah. Army, SEALs. Whatever. Team 6.
Okay, so you're like a quarter black.
That makes me...
Like Tom Brady?
No. Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yes.
No, like...
I say I'm Neapolitan.
Like Neapolitan. Well,
chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry.
We're going to stay topical.
Okay.
What I was going to ask is, how do you feel about... What's that girl's name that was going around saying she was black? She was saying she was 100%.
Nicole Richie?
No. You don't know what I'm talking about?
She's a political figure.
Yeah, she was leader of the NAACP.
I saw it
in Washington, maybe?
I only know because I saw it on Reddit and everyone was making fun of her.
So she's about, it's on the, look it up when you go home. It's been like the biggest news because people are getting
so
bored out of it.
Homework when I leave here.
She's like blonde hair, blue eye, and she decided, I'm going to be black. And so she permed her hair. Darkened it. I think she looks like she bronzed her skin.
Wait, she faked the funk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She faked it big time. Because somewhere it came out. Because she was leader of the NAACP up in wherever. Some
amazing.
Well, you know,
Bruce
to that
Jenner
I say.
That's true.
Uh-uh.
Well, she said she was trans. She said she was transracial.
Why? What?
Yikes.
I know.
I'm going to stick with Neapolitan.
Michael Jackson may have been.
Yikes.
He's the godfather of that.
So
if it had it not have been for Michael Jackson, maybe she wouldn't have done this.
Yeah, but
no,
he
wait,
was trying to be one.
He's the
are you
he
sure?
Just, he was just.
Are you sure?
He's the king of pop.
I understand that, but
the godfather
of R&B. Him towards the
that's
end.
That's R. Kelly.
He also got weird.
We're
all weird, man.
Yeah, this is going to be a nightmare to edit.
I had a lot to drink, Kevin. I'm sorry.
I'm still on the same glass.
The bottle's almost gone.
It could be if the fruit infused.
No, you're not going to blame this whole 59 minutes and 8 seconds on the one blueberry you had.
I had
four.
I had a fistful.
Well,
I don't know what happens to blueberries.
We'll agree to disagree.
If you have tiny hands. We'll agree to disagree. I don't think so.
He does have tiny hands.
No, he does not. He can crush your soul
match.
With them.
They don't match.
I'm disproportionate.
What?
I'm a freak show over here.
Listen, with the let's arms talk about, on that guy, you don't criticize his hands.
Let's talk about... All right, people.
How are you going on? And he's like, end of show.
This podcast was brought to you by the letter Q.
Kirk and Cameron.
the letter
W and H.
Letter W and H and Kirk Cameron.
Yeah.
Email us. No one ever does. I don't even know why I say this email address.
Don't email me.
Who's going to email me?
Somebody will.
No one so far. He's going to go home and make up an email address to make me feel Karen. Better.
Who cares? No one has the time to contact someone, but I just want to know
I've been
how
listening
many,
to you.
I just want to know how many followers
I'm angry that you hate my accent.
But the...
I like it during the podcast when you tell people how many more followers you have since last week.
Oh, yeah. We do have a lot of followers. We had 12,000.
12,000!
Let me back this up for a second. So now we're quiet again. So apparently there's accounts listening feeds or whatever from the actual website. And then if you have someone that listens from another source, be it Stitcher... iTunes or whatever use, then it counts that as a feed hit. And we've had 12,000, more than 12,000 now feed hits, which I can't believe it because this is drivel. It's just people.
Well, you know that 11,000 of those were because Paul shared your podcast with people. And he's got literally millions of followers.
Does he on his Twitter?
I don't know, but I feel like
Twitter. How can you say that if you don't know?
Because all things are possible.
Oh shoot!
It's what the cat said.
The cat said it.
We're gonna get him back on here too. I have to read up.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
He's like, we've got to do something to repair. we got to repair the engines here on this one.
And
let's call back Paul and Moses.
That's the last time we do a three mic.
Now she's playing footsie. All right. So
whatever it takes.
Wait, what if podcast at yahoo.com. You can follow us on Twitter at WWI podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/ WWI podcast. And Mike is going to be putting out a podcast soon. You came up with a name, right?
I did. I'm actually excited. I want you to look at a couple of logos, and you too. Both of you, I want to get your opinion on a few logos.
I've been running. And marketing major.
Yeah. It's called Make It a Double. The idea is it's booze, it's spirits, it's history, it's mixology, it's the people, the stories, the places, the adventures, everything that makes it great. So I'm going to go around, I'm going to interview different distilleries, breweries, all kinds of people with interesting histories on everything alcohol, really, and what surrounds it. So the traditions, the customs, all that stuff that comes with it.
All right. Is there going to be alcohol on the podcast?
We will.
Because this is rough.
We're drinking. No. We will definitely be drinking. You should come with me. We'll talk later. I'm going to set up a few interviews and we can go.
I
got to
hook you up
with
my brother-in-law.
Lionel Richie?
So keep listening. As I'll tell your friends, I want to try to get the word out. Make this from 12,000 to 24,000 to 1 million.
A million.
1 million.
Thanks. Goodbye.
No, really. It's my motto.